Children's Church. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 is where we'll be this morning. I've noticed a pattern in our church over the last, couple years, and it's this. Mid-July to mid-August seems to be the time when our energy is the lowest. Like, it's just, like, summer has zapped it out of us, okay? It's hot outside, and that just takes our energy away. A lot of people go on vacations, which is great for them, but sometimes, some weeks in the summer, there's fewer people here, and so it's kind of like, have that. For those of you that have kids at home, you've entertained them for 2 months, and it's like, I'm sick of this. When can school start? Okay? For those of you who send your kids to school, it's just kind of one of those really hard times. Okay? Dog days of summer is what they will sometimes say. And then I think it affects even our spiritual life. You know, we're drained physically, we're drained emotionally, and it's like, okay, so church and devotions, just we do it because it's routine. Just kind of get through it. Okay, we kind of slog through it a little bit. And I'm not immune to this either. Mid-July to mid-August is kind of just kind of get through each week. Okay? And I've one of the things that I find helpful, at least in reading scripture and studying, is to go from the New Testament, where we've been for a long time, and go to stories. Because I just love stories, okay? And I think a lot of us do. And so what I would like to do for the next few weeks is to look at some of the lesser well-known stories in scripture, okay? We know the major ones, right? These are all the ones we've learned about in Sunday school. Adam and Eve, Noah. I feel like I got an angel like going, yep, those. Abraham, David, all those stories, the major ones. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that we don't know as well. I feel like I got mail like all these times. So anyway, I got your point. I want to invite you into this as well, because if you have stories that you love that are not the mainstream stories, that are not the Sunday school stories, okay, I want you to tell them to me, and I want to preach on them, okay? So I have a few, but if there's a story that you go, oh, nobody knows about this, like Barzillai the Gideonite, okay? How many of you know Barzillai's story? See, that's one. Other stories that you're like, okay, this one hasn't, we just kind of skip over this, please tell me. I would like to work on that, okay? But our story this morning is one of these that we don't generally talk about. I think we've heard about this one, but we don't often preach about it. And it's about a man who didn't act his own age, okay? This guy did not, yes. Is not my mic on? It is. My mic is on. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Larry or Todd, would you? And 11 of them get land. Okay, the Levites don't. They get some other special compensation. But, wow, speaking a lot. So, they all get these different plots of land. Well, there are four individuals who also get special plots, and one of those is Caleb. Okay, so they're dividing out the land, and then we read this story. Joshua chapter 14. Okay, verses 6 through, we'll just read it, 6 through 15. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as the strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard how on that day the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. And it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said.' Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, and Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war." What I love about this story is Caleb is 85 years old. He wants his inheritance, and he's like, "Let's go." Okay? I can imagine him with a walker in one hand and a sword in another. Like, yeah, let, you know, I love this story. Okay? So Caleb goes to Joshua and reminds him of an experience they had together 45 years ago. Okay? It was when Caleb was 40 years old, he and Joshua were selected as two of the spies that Moses sent into the promised land. Okay, kind of a reconnaissance mission. What are the people like? What are the cities like? What's the land like? Things like that. Okay, a scouting party. And they come back and they give their reports. Okay, so we see this in Numbers 13. Caleb says, "We came to the land to which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large." Okay, so Caleb and Joshua come back and says, "This is a great land, flowing with milk and honey." The others come back and say, "Okay, there's giants there and fortified cities." Okay, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to conquer it." Okay? Let's go. God promised it. We're gone. Okay? But the men who had gone up with him said, "Oh, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." And we know the story. Okay? The people listened to the 10 spies with these discouraging reports. Okay? Giants, fortified cities, there's no way they can take it. And because of their reluctance to go in, God says, "Okay, you're going to spend 40 years in the desert." Okay, until that entire generation died off. So the only two people who are allowed to live from that generation are Caleb and Joshua. Now, how does Caleb have so much faith? Now, this is really fascinating. How is it that Caleb and Joshua are the only two people that are allowed to enter in the promised land? Moses wasn't even allowed to. Well, you think about it. If Caleb was 40 years old when they spied out the land, okay, and they took a year in the desert, that means he spent the first 39 years of his life as a slave in Egypt. Okay? So he knew what it was like before Moses came. And then he saw Moses, he saw the 10 plagues, he saw the crossing of the Red Sea, he saw the destruction of the Egyptian army, he saw the Lord on the top of the mountain when the 10 commandments were given. They fought battles they shouldn't have won, but they won. He saw all these things. And it built up his faith. Okay, to the point where he just believed that God would do what he said. Now, why is it that everybody else didn't have that faith? I think if we look at Deuteronomy and Numbers, we see that most of the people were so concerned with their circumstances that their focus was on it instead of the Lord. Okay? They looked at their circumstances and says, there's no way we can overcome this. Caleb said, oh, look at the Lord. Oh, we can overcome anything. Okay? He had a different spirit. That's what Numbers 14 tells us. He had a different spirit than the rest of the people. The people feared what they saw, while Caleb believed their enemies should fear them because God was on their side. Now, if we look carefully at Joshua 14, there's a phrase that's repeated three times. See if you can find it. Joshua 14, 6 to 15. What is the phrase that's repeated? It's always good for people to find their own phrases. But what's the description of Caleb? No? Well, that one's repeated too, but I wholly follow the Lord. Or I follow the Lord wholly. Okay? Caleb says it about himself. God says it about Caleb. It's three times in there that he wholly followed the Lord with all that he has. Okay? Caleb was a man of faith that God was going to fulfill his promises. If God had promised them the land, then no enemy could stand in their way. Okay, God said, you will have this? Okay. It didn't matter that the cities were fortified. It didn't matter that giants, the Anakim, lived in the land. God was giving it to them, and all they had to do was keep moving forward. That's why he's like, let's go. What's the problem? Let's go now. Okay? He believes God and his faithfulness. And because of Caleb's back when he was a spy,